You know, it's Mother's Day. June told me that these are impatience without a T. However, mothers I know sometimes get impatient. I thought that I would share this morning about three women, although I could share about many others in my life. Two of my grandmothers and my mother. Not that my wife isn't a great mother. We saw some of the fruits of our labors when yesterday we went to Louisville and I fulfilled a bucket list check mark being able to go to the Yum Center. Now, granted, it wasn't a University of Louisville basketball game, but it was University of Louisville graduation for 3,100 students. And I guess we listened to about half their names because they divide their graduation into two sections, a morning section and an afternoon section. And Morgan Cassidy Smith's, our oldest granddaughter, graduated with her bachelor's degree in something, something, something. And then she tells me, I'll be starting back to school Wednesday. Because she's going right into work on her master's work, which I guess is a good thing. All right, enough about that. Two grandmothers and a mother. My mother was a nurse. I enjoy telling people that, especially when I talk to other nurses or other medical people. And she spent the largest part of her career assisting in delivering babies. And some of that was right up here at what you all knew as Patty Clay, what she knew as Patty Clay. But she enjoyed doing that. She enjoyed helping new mothers. Okay, and we have a long line of nurses now in our family. And I appreciate that. Mother wasn't a stay-at-home mom, but she always worked 3 to 11. And I remember her one time being involved in a car accident as she came home late. And she was banged up. I remember a black eye and some very sore ribs. But she recovered for another day. I know you thank the Lord that it wasn't any more serious than that. My grandmothers. Grandmother Smith, originally a Brown. By the way, all my lineage is kind of short in name size. Allen, Brown, Smith, Hood. Well, the Smith and the Brown go together. The Hood and the Allen go together. Anyway.
This is still working.
Okay. Grandmother Smith was... for lack of a better term, something else. But I remember as a very young boy staying with her over a weekend and on Sunday mornings riding the buses that would necessarily take us to the Highland Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky. And what a thrill that was to go to church with grandmother. And to enjoy, and that was just part of the heritage. Then there's Grandma Allen. That's my mother's mother. Mother, yeah. The miracle of Grandma Allen is that her and my grandfather raised 6 children on a farm, and they were both deaf. They could not hear. They had lost their hearing as a result of childhood diseases, somewhere between probably 7 and 11 in age. And I still, that's just to me again another miracle that they, you know, I've asked my mother, didn't you all get away with a lot? And she said, no, they didn't. They didn't get away with a lot. All right, that's the first part of the sermon. Come see.
Passage of scripture that I want to utilize this morning is familiar to you all, and it's a one that we frequently hear on Mom's Day from Proverbs chapter 31. I remember when Grandmother Smith passed away, pastor who gave the funeral or led the funeral, I asked, you know, if I wanted to participate. And I said, sure, why not? And I pulled out this passage, and I started reading it. And I did not get through it without shedding many tears, because I knew that many of the things that the writer of Proverbs, probably Samuel, you may see a title that indicates the words of King Lemuel. Well, many scholars feel that that is a nickname for Solomon, that maybe his mother gave him that nickname, and she may have been responsible, in fact, for these instructions or these thoughts, and he wrote them down in being reminded what his search for a future wife ought to be, future mother of his children. And it is a wonderful, wonderful passage that speaks many great truths about women. Now, I know that some women will read this and immediately their conclusion is, I can't even come close. Well, we all need something to attain to. I mean, we do. And, you know, as the song that Kayla just sung, we don't know to be throwing stones at one another. A lot of them come back at us. Verse 10 of the 31st chapter of the Proverbs. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. I'm pretty certain that this is where we get the custom of when we ask a beautiful young lady to become our wife, we have to give them a diamond. Just so that we understand, she is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. A wife, a mother, is indeed supportive of the one, the man she has married, and that leads to a trust, a passion that is unlike any other, should be unlike any other, with the exception of our love for our Jesus. Verse 13, she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. Sorry, I'm laughing a little bit. I remember someone reading that, and it was more like food from a fire. Now, I don't know if it was burnt offerings or if it was a well-cooked meal, but nevertheless, that was someone's rendition of that particular verse. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. In other words, from those few verses, she's a great homemaker. And that's so important, that there is someone who gives leadership and guidance in the home. And I think I can say this without reservations, it ain't us guys. It is not us. Now, I could talk about a few things about my wife here, but I won't. Because she's not in here to defend herself. But anyway, she has made for us in our 40-plus years a wonderful home, and I can verify that. So, I don't know if this is the place to say this, but it's something that I've almost always shared when I've had opportunity to counsel potential newlyweds. And I say to the guy, if you want to be treated like a king, you got to treat her like a queen. No commentary necessary there. But the home is so, you know, I've had the opportunity to do some substitute teaching, not here, but before, while I was in Indiana. And one of the saddest things that came to my attention almost on a daily basis when I had the opportunity to teach was the realization of how many children come from broken homes. You know, to ask the question, you know, how many of you are in single-parent homes? And to have clearly half the class raise their hand. And wonder, you know, and usually, you know, the kids are with the mom. Wonder how they could do it. Make a home and all that's against them in that hour, that time. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it with the fruit of her hands. She plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. I can only speak for my own situation, but those verses say to me, they speak of a creative person. And I got a creative wife. Look around at the flowers in the windows behind me, up here. I mean, they were flowers you already had, but she scattered them about to give us some color this morning. And that's a good thing. If I'm bragging, please forgive me. But it's talking about a wife, a mother's ability to do things beyond the home. Now, the home is elementary and most important. I think Scripture's judgment, teaching. But to take opportunities that lie outside the home and make advantage of those and make those work for her family situation is what the proverb writer is reminding us of. Verse 20, she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow, for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Well, I guess the best way to describe what's shared with us in those three verses simply is she cares. She cares. She cares for those outside her home, and she cares for those within her home. Without ignoring either one. And the thing that I would say at this point regarding what is said here about the Proverbs 31 woman, who many women see this as perfection, I'll never attain that, I'll never be able to do that, is I think this is more talking about a woman who is able to keep her life in balance. There's not so much over here that something over here is ignored to the hurt of everything or someone else. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not in any way suggesting that's easy. No, it's not. Especially in 21st century America. But striving to find in your life that place where you have some kind of balance between all the plates that you're trying to keep going. You know, you've seen those juggler guys, and they'll put a plate up on a stick, and they'll start spinning it, and then they'll do another one, and they're trying to keep all those going at the same time. And what very often happens, they go tumbling down and break it. So I think Solomon is not looking for that perfect woman, but he's looking for that woman that knows how to maintain balance in her life. And there's a carryover because of that. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She doesn't do anything to hurt her husband's reputation. She builds him up, not tears him down. Pardon me. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. So she's able to do those things outside the home. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. Balance. Balance. When she laughs at the time to come, I mean, ladies, you don't have to answer this out loud, but can you predict the future? Nah. I know I can't. But what is being said is she's not given to worry about what's way down the road that she has no control over. She's dealing today with what there is today. Now, that doesn't mean plans are not being made that need to be made, but you just can't worry about what's down the road. That's, again, that balance. She opens her mouth, verse 26, with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. That right balance of work, of living, of caring, of doing. Yeah, I know many, many women, one of the first things they'll confess, and many guys too, is I'm just too busy. There's not enough hours in the day. Well, we all face that dilemma. But we must come to the point, again, of balance. The realization there are things that we just can't control. There's nothing we can do about it except pray and give it to Him. Not Him the husband, Him the Father, our God. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. That doesn't require any commentary whatsoever. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. Here's the most important phrase of this verse, of this whole thing. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gate. Thank you, Mom, Grandmom, Mother. You know, we've all heard that silly little joke that if it wasn't for our mothers, we wouldn't be here. Which is true. And in some ways more true than in others. I recall when I went to the armed services to serve in the Air Force, and my mother gave me a little Bible. Well, Dad gave me a little Bible. Mother wrote in it her verse, or verses. Again from the Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for that which we celebrate this day. We remember Mother. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we are just blessed, so many of us, by having mothers that cared for us, that met our needs, changed our dirty diapers, prepared us nourishing meals, kept clothes on our backs, and so much, so much more. We just want to use this day to express our appreciation. But our worship would not be complete unless we reminded folks that it is a mom that honors the Lord that is to be greatly honored and praised. And so, Father, my prayer this day is that all our mothers here know Jesus, follow Jesus faithfully. In fact, I'd press that even a little step further, not just mothers and ladies, but men. Boys and girls, we come because of what Jesus has done. And unless we speak to what he has done, then we have not fulfilled our responsibilities as we come together. And so thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming into our world. The uniqueness of your own mother was that she simply said, okay, here I am, and obey. That would be a good model for all mothers. Here I am, and obey. Now, Father, use these moments of invitation to speak by your Spirit into the hearts and minds of those who need to make a decision today for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.